Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the field to the court to the rink, get your sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Time to get caught up with Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Get caught up on the Buffalo Bills. Look ahead to the Senior Bowl. Matthew, how have you been?
I'm doing well. How are you?
It's Fairburn season here. Now, you are going to Mobile next week, correct, Matthew?
Yes, I fly out Monday morning and will be there through Thursday.
So, set the scene for us. I mean, it seems like from the outside it's a convention. The game isn't until, you know, Saturday. So what is going on all week? Why is this such a big week for scouts and for anybody that should be interested in the NFL draft?
Yeah, typically, you know, the game is not the attraction, even though that's what's on television and, you know, technically why they're all down there. But the, you know, way it works is for scouts and general managers and teams and coaches, this is a real chance to get, you know, FaceTime with these guys and see them in a setting that you otherwise wouldn't always get to see them in. And so, especially for the teams that get to coach the game, that's an even more personal look at what these guys are doing. But, you know, they get in early in the week and they practice. I believe it'll start Tuesday with practices running through Friday, and they're in meetings. They stimulate a real week, and they're with NFL coaching staff. So it's a real chance for, you know, scouts and general managers and coaches to see how they respond to that environment competitively. Obviously, it's not an ideal environment because you're getting a new playbook, you're playing with a bunch of new teammates, but in that setting, you get to see how a guy handles that. How does he pick up the playbook in a week? How does he interact with those teammates? And then not only that, I mean, it's just a simple fact that this is a chance to see these guys in person, see them play in person. There's a lot of small school guys there that some GMs maybe haven't seen up close in person. And some of those guys that you haven't seen match up against big-time talent. This is the best of the best in terms of senior prospects. And so you get to see a level of competition that you don't otherwise get to see. It's a pretty unique event. The Shrine Game was this week. Similar concept, but, you know, on a lower level with not as many high-profile prospects. And obviously you don't get the, you know, underclassmen that have declared who make up a good chunk of the top of the draft. But the Bills have selected quite a few Senior Bowl guys in recent years. Josh Allen was there last year. Harrison Phillips was there last year. Taron Johnson was there last year. Zay Jones, Tre'Davious White, Deion Dawkins were all there. So clearly, this is an event that they take seriously, and they've, you know, gotten some talent from
it. Are we to assume that both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott will be there this week?
Yeah, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott should both be there. I know Brian Daboll will be down there. Typically, a good chunk of the coaching staff is down there, depending, of course, on if they've got a full coaching staff at that point. But typically, it's an event that Sean McDermott goes to, and Brandon Bean and his entire staff will be there. So they usually have a pretty big contingent.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic joining us here in the Sports Bar 95.7 ESPN. So for the Senior Bowl itself, I mean, last year there's so much of the focus on the quarterbacks. Who are some of the names that you'll be watching coming up?
You know, I'm interested in the interior of the offensive line. I think, you know, that's an area of, you know, big concern for the Bills. And there's quite a few talented guys down there. Elgton Jenkins, the center from Mississippi State, might be the highlight. Alabama center will be down there as well. He obviously got to play with Brian Daboll. I think that's a big focus for me, because there's a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball, on the defensive line. And so this is a good chance to see how some of these interior offensive linemen handle that. And I think there's a chance the Bills could draft one or two, you know, interior offensive linemen, including a center. And I think center's probably, you know, right near the top of the list in terms of needs for these guys. And, you know, that's something that's not easy to find. I think it's kind of a position that is maybe underrated in some aspects. And in Buffalo, it was not a concern for them for the longest time, because Eric Wood locked that down. But when he had to retire unexpectedly, I think that was probably, you know, had the biggest impact of anything on this offensive line. So, yeah, you know, Elgton Jenkins, Rosh Piersbacher is the Alabama center, is a guy that I'll probably be watching closely. And Wisconsin has a few offensive linemen that will be down there as well that are worth checking out. I mean, that's a program that does things, you know, the right way in terms of developing offensive linemen. It's why you see a ton of their offensive linemen make it to the NFL. So I think, you know, watching a guy like Bo Benchway, I mean, some of these pronunciations are a little bit tough. I'll have to get together with these guys down there. But, you know, the guys from Wisconsin are considered among the top guards in the draft. And so I think they could use guys at that spot. And obviously wide receiver is another one. You know, Emmanuel Hall from Missouri will be down there. And he had a productive year when he was healthy. So there's some talent at that position. Debo Samuel from South Carolina, that's a guy that Brandon Bean saw in person this year. So obviously he's already familiar with him, went out of his way to do that. So I think there's some talent down there. And, you know, those are probably the positions I'll hone in on. It's a different year, like you said, than when the quarterbacks were down there. And last year, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen were obviously the highlights. So a little bit of a wider lens this year than just narrowing the focus on the passers.
Talking Senior Bowl with Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic. And you know it's draft season when we're talking Senior Bowl. You know it's draft season when Kiper puts out his first mock draft, and he has the Bills selecting Rashawn Gary out of Michigan, the defensive end slash defensive tackle. I'm curious, Matthew, what you know about that prospect.
From what I've read about him, is the questions are going to be about why he wasn't as consistent a producer as he should have been. And so that'll be, you know, something that, you know, obviously in the coming months we'll probably learn more about. But big time talent who I think played out of position at Michigan and is probably best suited to fill in that role that Kyle Williams is leaving, that three technique defensive tackle. And it's a position that people might think the Bills are okay at, but they're really not. I mean, they have Harrison Phillips, but he's more that nose tackle type, playing, you know, half the snaps with Starlo Tulele. So they're all set at the one technique spot. But as in terms of a true, pure three technique, Jordan Phillips is the only guy that you can really hang your hat on. And even he is you know, has an expiring contract, so he's a free agent. And he's unproven in terms of his consistency. So I think the defensive line, particularly three technique defensive tackle or an edge rusher, a pass rusher, would be you know, a pretty worthwhile pick at number nine. I know a lot of people want, you know, them to go on the offensive side of the ball and look for a tackle or look for a wide receiver, but Brandon Bean has said, you know, repeatedly that he will not draft for need. He will take the best player available. This draft might test him on that a little bit, because, you know, you're looking at a team that desperately needs offense in a draft where a lot of the top prospects are blue chip defensive talent. So I think this will test his patience a little bit. It's possible the best guy on the board is an offensive player, but I'd say at the moment that the best guy on the board at nine could be a defensive guy. And I think the good thing for the Bills is that they have a lot of needs. I think outside of safety and quarterback, you could argue they need every position on the field. Outside of nose tackle, like I mentioned, nose tackle, safety, and quarterback, they basically need everything. You know, you can't say they're super comfortable at one spot. And I think that's part of the best player available approach, is that sometimes you think your needs are one thing, and a couple months later, a few things happen, and you all of a sudden a strength turns into a weakness, or, you know, vice versa. So you can never really predict those things, which is why you'll often hear general managers say, and you'll probably hear it a bunch over the next few months, you can't go wrong picking good football players. And the best, you know, way to do that is to take the best guy on your board, regardless of position, and not manipulate the board or manufacture, you know, a talent that isn't there. You don't want to convince yourself or talk yourself into a wide receiver just because you need one if he's not truly a top 10 talent.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, our guest. Let's talk about the Bills, where they sit at number 9. So in this draft, Matthew, they could pick whoever falls to them at 9. They could trade down. But if you had to tier this, in other words, as far as blue chip, can't miss, future Hall of Famers, what are the prospects the Bills would trade up? Are there tiers in this draft? How would you lay out the options for the Buffalo Bills at number 9 when it comes to stay put, trade down, trade up?
I would be surprised if they traded up. There's a lot of defensive talent in this draft, and I haven't studied it closely enough to peg anyone as a future 15-year starter or anything like that, but there are good players. I mean, Quinnen Williams from Alabama is a handful on the defensive line, would be a great addition for them. Josh Allen, the defensive end / you know, edge rusher from Kentucky, is a big-time talent that has a lot of people excited. You know, Bosa's younger brother is in this draft, Nick Bosa. He's another guy that, you know, has been pegged as a number one pick for quite a while. But in terms of what the Bills need, I think they may be better off trading down if it comes to that. I mean, you could sit there at 9 and let the board fall to you, and if a couple teams get up for quarterbacks, you know, Dwayne Haskins is probably going to be the number one quarterback off the board. It's early to say. As we saw last year, you know, these things can change a lot. But Daniel Jones from Duke is another one. Kyler Murray obviously adds some intrigue to the whole situation. Drew Locke from Missouri will be down at the Senior Bowl. The best-case scenario for the Bills is that more of these quarterbacks establish themselves as first-round picks or top-10 picks. The more quarterbacks that go in the top 10, the more talent is going to get pushed down the board to the Bills. And whether they want to sit there and take a big-time talent like Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston, or, you know, dangle that guy as a way to trade down, because from 20 to about, you know, pick 20 to about pick 100, there's going to be a ton of wide receivers and tight ends that come off the board that are really good players. It's considered a very deep draft at both wide receiver and tight end that are arguably two of the Bills' biggest needs. And, you know, I think the Bills could get, you know, an offensive tackle if they stay put at 9, or they could get an offensive tackle if they slide back in the first round too. So there's a lot of options. It's a little bit different than last year, when basically from the moment they made that trade in the 2017 draft, people knew what they were looking at in the 2018 draft, and people were waiting for them to make their move. This year, they're in a different position where people aren't going to know exactly what they're after. Obviously, people know they want or prefer offense, but they also, like I said, aren't in a position to be turning away talented players at any position, because they're still building this thing and trying to establish a foundation. So if there's a guy that could be a part of that at pick 9, you have to stay there and take him, because when you look at it, you know, you don't get top 10 picks that often in an ideal world. And those are the picks that give you a chance to get those future Hall of Famers, or give you the best chance to get those guys. So there's a guy that you peg that way and somebody's not offering you a ransom to get up, you know, it's okay to just sit there and take the best guy on the board, even if he doesn't fill the most obvious need on your roster.
Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Matt, I want to get your opinion on a couple of signings, of course, this week with Buffalo Bills. The one-year extension for Lorenzo Alexander, which I think we all agree is probably a good move for the Bills, considering he was a value for them, given his production this last season on the defensive side of the ball. And then Jeremiah Searles on the offensive line getting an extension. But we're kind of scratching our head a little bit, just thinking to ourselves, you know, he probably got the extension because of his versatility, but you know, he's just kind of a guy, unless we're wrong and you're hearing something other. Matthew, what say you about these signings this week from the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, I think Lorenzo Alexander was just an inevitable signing because they had that strong mutual interest at the end of the year. Lorenzo Alexander said at locker cleanout that he wanted this to be his final year and he wanted to do it here, so that one made sense, especially losing Kyle Williams. You want to have that veteran leadership that Lorenzo Alexander provides. As far as Jeremiah Searles, you know, it's a vet minimum contract. And he's a guy that can play multiple positions and provide depth for you. They're not committed to him for much of anything. They're just bringing him back. I mean, they need bodies on the offensive line. They have quite a few guys who are scheduled to be free agents, including their starting center at the end of the year, their starting right guard at the end of the year, and their starting right tackle at the end of the year. You can only get rid of so many guys without retaining some. You know, you need to go into camp with quite a few offensive linemen. I mean, the roster is going to be at 90 players, so you need to go into camp with a certain amount of linemen. And so bringing back Jeremiah Searles is nothing more than this is a guy they know. This is a guy they, you know, saw something from this year. He obviously wasn't great in the limited action that he did get, but he's a guy that's been in their system. He's a guy that knows how they do things, and he can play multiple positions and at the very least be a guy that competes and provides depth in the best-case scenario. And in the worst-case scenario, you end up with, you know, guys that you either draft or sign in free agency or as undrafted guys that beat him out, and you feel comfortable letting him go. It's only a veteran minimum contract, so they didn't commit a whole lot to him.
That leaves six guys who were on the Bills this year that are unrestricted free agents. We talked a little about Jordan Phillips, Tywan Jones, a couple of those guys on the line, John Miller, Jordan Mills. Any of those six, Matthew, that you would say this team should bring back next year?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Tywan Jones is brought back for special teams. He was named the captain, you know, before the season, before he got hurt. So it wouldn't surprise me if they bring him back. Really, any of these guys, I wouldn't be shocked if they brought him back on a value deal. If there's a way to bring back John Miller on a cheap contract, that might be worth it to give you some depth. I don't think any of these guys that are free agents are guys that they need to bring back for the sake of, you know, having a starter at a certain position, but it doesn't hurt to have depth and an insurance plan. Now, some of these guys might want to go elsewhere. I mean, John Miller's kind of, you know, been in and out of the lineup over his 4 years. He's had kind of an up and down road. His first chance to hit free agency, he could maybe show his 2015 tape and kind of, you know, get people interested that way and maybe get somebody to believe that he can be a guy that can start and make some money. Ryan Groy had a market a couple of years ago, and Jordan Mills is a guy that's played a ton of football, might not be, you know, a guy that's highly paid on the free agent market, but Chantrell Henderson got a deal last year, a pretty decent deal. Yeah. So, I mean, free agency is funny that way. So I don't know if these guys are going to want to come back on the cheap. But it's possible that, you know, some of these guys do. I think Tywan Jones is probably the one to watch, as well as Jordan Phillips, because those are guys that they probably could use in certain roles. And, you know, guys that they seem to like at, you know, various points during the year.
Finally, Matthew, we should talk about the additions to the Bills coaching staff. Bobby Johnson, offensive line, Heath Farwell, the new special teams coach. What are your thoughts on these two hires by the Buffalo Bills? You know, not opting not to make the big splash with a name that we probably would recognize, but both guys seem to have pretty credible resumes.
Yeah, I would say so. The new special teams coach, I think, will be a breath of fresh air, you know, a I think there was a change needed there for, you know, Danny Crossman had been in that spot for so long. I think the message can grow tired, especially when the results aren't there. So it's tough for me to say how big of a difference either of these coaches will make, but Bobby Johnson got an endorsement, you know, from Eric Wood and a few others that I think, you know, makes you think that he's probably a good fit for what the Bills are trying to do. And again, I think that's a spot that they needed a change. I mean, Juan Castillo wasn't getting a lot out of those offensive linemen. And you could say he wasn't given a lot of talent to work with, which is probably true. But the development or lack thereof of Deion Dawkins was a bit of an issue this year. Wyatt Teller was up and down. John Miller, you know, who showed some promise in his career. Juan Castillo didn't get the best out of him, or Ryan Groy, for that matter, who, again, had a market a couple years ago, a guy with some talent. So I think it was time to make a change there as well. So we'll see what, you know, obviously time will tell. And, you know, players, you got to get talent. I mean, players play. But I think the coaching moves are good. I think they're guys that, you know, seem to have solid reputations. And, you know, obviously we'll see if they can build on that here in Buffalo.
Matthew, before we let you go, quick thought on Sunday, Championship Sunday. Who do you like this Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun Sunday of football. I'm glad that the four teams that are in there made it. You know, the four best offenses in the NFL, I think probably if you had asked people in November or October even to say, you know, which four teams make the Super, or which four teams will be the last four standing, these four would have been, you know, right there in the conversation. So I'm interested to watch these games. I think I'm tempted to go with the Chiefs. I think playing at home, the Patriots have not been good on the road. That's an explosive, rare offense. And Patrick Mahomes has shown these moments aren't too big for him. And I think, you know, it's hard to bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick against a young quarterback like Mahomes. But I trust Mahomes and the Chiefs playing at home. The Patriots have been a different team so far on the road this year. I'm going with the Saints in the other game. I'm not feeling super confident about it, the way that they're playing, but they were both my midseason and end-of-season Super Bowl pick in our poll of writers at The Athletic. So I feel like I have to ride it out. They're here in the Final Four, so I'm going to say it'll be the Saints and the Chiefs meeting up in Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
That would be one hell of a game, for sure. Matthew, you know, I think it probably goes without saying, plenty of draft coverage coming up this week in The Athletic for our listeners to read.
Absolutely, yeah. We just wrapped up an off-season primer week, the first week of our off-season series of coverage with some stories from Tim Graham and myself, where we kind of look at the big-picture issues and talk to some people that have been through some of these big picture issues and how to navigate it, whether it's rebuilding an offensive line, dealing with all the salary cap space, you know, what we talked about, you know, drafting best player available when it doesn't quite meet your needs. So we have a ton of content up there, and then I'll be down in Mobile with quite a bit of draft content with some names to watch, some guys that stand out, and then obviously we'll hear from the decision makers down there as well. So it should be an eventful week in Mobile.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, safe travels, and then you know, perhaps we can catch up with you next Friday, see what you learned. Would that work for you?
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys then.
You got it, Matthew. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for joining us here in the Sports Bar. That's the great Matthew Fairburn. Love having him in, especially this time of year as we're getting into draft season and the Senior Bowl right around the corner. He eats this up just like we do. Great stuff.
Yeah, and this is the conundrum, because this is the draft rich in talent on the defensive side of the ball. So what do the Buffalo Bills do? Do they sit there at 9 or trading down, Mike Danger? There's going to be a name. There might be an opportunity. Just something to consider.
All right. I hope you're sitting down. We are way, way behind. We wanted to give you a little extra time there with Fairburn and get you prepared for the Senior Bowl. So let's do NFL appetizers next. Quick break here. Happy hour still around the corner, and another round of shots as well. NFL appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We have a coordinator change in Big D, and an AFC West team appears to commit to their quarterback, of the future who's been their quarterback of the present, their quarterback of the past. They're not going to change anytime soon. That's all on the way next. NFL appetizers in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.